We're holding the top line. You recall that we're talking about the Indian of Anshei Hirnidachas. And we learned that Hirnidachas is different than any other Oivdei Avodah Zarah, because all other Oivdei Avodah Zarah, they get Skila Chas Risholim and Mamoinim Polat. Masha Enken, when you're talking about Anshei Hirnidachas, Talocha is that they all get Hereg and Mamoinim Ovat. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah also gave us a whole bunch of different requirements. One of the requirements was, for instance, Shiadichu Anoshim Veloy Noshim. Why? Because the Loshon HaPasuk is Yotzu Anoshim B'nei Bliyal Mikirbecha. So Anoshim said the Mishnah Veloy Noshim. Now the Gemara asks the Shaila, what happens if it's neither Anoshim and nor Noshim, but rather Hudchu Mei Aleihem Iboiluhu. There were no instigators. There were no provocateurs. People just read about in the papers, or they heard the good news that there's a new Avodah Zarah in town, and this Avodah Zarah is so great, it does such wonderful mafsim and this and yens, and everybody all bought it hook, line, and sinker without anyone specifically inciting or instigating. So Mao, what's the din under such circumstances? Since the Lashon of the Pasuk is Yotzu Anoshim Nebliyal Mikibecha Vayadichu as Yoshve Iram, is by definition, to become an Irnidachas, you have to have someone who instigated that Avodah Zarah. Oy Dilma Filu Hudchem Yaleh, or maybe Lavdavka. If they convince themselves that this Avodah Zarah is a great Avodah Zarah, maybe that's enough to be an Irnidachas and to have all the halachas, meaning the din of cherev instead of skila, and mamoinim ovad instead of polat. Let's try to bring a right from our Mishnah. Hidichu and noshim uktanim. What's the din? It does not become an irni dachas. Amai lehevi kahud chami aleh. Why don't we say it's no better or worse than hud chami aleh? Einachanami, it's not a noshim, fine. But since it's noshim uktanim, why don't you understand that as if the person was Hudach Mei Olav, he didn't have the benefit or disadvantage of someone instigating, but shouldn't be any worse or better than Noshim Uktanim, that I say in such a case it does not become Irni Dachas. Here too I should say it does not become Irni Dachas, because there were no Anoshim. Everything more, no, you really cannot compare it to Noshim Uktanim. Hanach Bosu Nafshayu Geridi, Hani Bosu Noshim Uktanim Geridi. What does that mean? The word greedy, says Rashi, means gishlept. They are nimshach. And therefore, if a person on his own decided that this Avodah Zarah is great and it's wonderful and it's tremendous, then I'm afraid he's going to be committed to it and he's going to be stuck with it. Because he, using his own intelligence and using, or perhaps the absence thereof, but using his own logic and his own mind, he decided, yeah, this is a great Avodah Zarah. So there's a good chance that he's going to continue serving that Avodah Zarah. Masha Enkein, if it's Noshim Uktanim, this is already a third party, and therefore it doesn't make that same impression upon him that we're going to assume total commitment to this cause. So in the case of Noshim Uktanim, the Torah says, it does not become Irnidachas, because the assumption is that their persuasive powers are, if you will, somewhat limited. It's only Anoshim, men, but if they are the ones that instigate, then it becomes Irni Dachas, Noshim Uktanim not. However, it could be that if they're Hudchu Nafshayu, that they themselves, Yidichu Me'alein, they themselves decided, so the logic would be that they probably did at least some degree of investigation and diligence to see whether it makes sense or not, and they heard wondrous things about the Avodah Zarah. It doesn't charge too much, and it gives all these wonderful benefits. So there's a good likelihood that Chas V'Sholem, he'll be a Vekishlept and will stay with that Avodah Zarah. So bottom line is the Gemara was not Poishet Ar Shaila, it leaves it as an Iboya Deloy Ifshita. Back to our Mishnah, it says that the din of a Eridachas, it has to be Achiyudach Ruba, Roiv of the city. So Freitimar, Hechi of Dina, what do we do, how do we implement this? Let's assume that the city has L'moshel, 100 people, and let's assume that 51, unfortunately, are now doing Avodah Zarah. The presumption is they didn't all jump in it at one time. And the presumption is that even if they did, we're not going to be able to be done all of them at one time. So what are we going to do when the first culprits walk into Beis Din with the police and with Edom and with Asra? They're saying that these are the people that did Avodah Zarah. Since we don't have the Roiv yet, are we going to go and give them a din of Skila, like they're still Yechidim? We're going to wait until we hit 51 and then we're going to start giving Herek? Or do you say no, that we'll wait, we'll see, we'll do? So we're going to have in the Gemara three different viewpoints of the Amoraim. How do we deal with starting off with Yechidim and eventually ending off with your wife? So, hey, Chavdina, what do we do? Amrav Yehuda. It's very simple. Donen v'choyfshin, donen v'choyfshin. Donen means we take one at a time, we bring our Edim, we have a regular court proceeding, and the court decides this person gets Misa. But we don't know yet whether it's going to eventually turn out to be 51% or whether it won't. So I don't know what Misa to do. So you know what we'll do? Choyfshin. Put him in jail, and we'll wait for a day, for a week, for a month, until we determine whether, in fact, we have only a miut, or whether we have right. So, donu v'choshim, each individual that we can prove did avodah zarah will first be done, we'll put him in jail, and then we will decide, after a week or two, or whatever, whether we are, in fact, above roiv or less than roiv. If we're above roiv, then we're going to go and say, Mister, you get herik. If it's less than Rife, we're going to tell him you get skill.
You have a question. Yeah, I mean, this sounds nice if you have a city of 100 inhabitants, but let's say a city of 100,000 inhabitants, these tribunals can take forever.
It's a very good point, and you'll see Mitch show in another few lines that Rish Lakish is going to go and tell us. We tried to convene as many Bati Dinam in one day as possible to be able to cut down on the backlog. But you'll see, the Gemara, we're not finished yet. So this is the first view of Yehuda. Omle Ula. Ula says, Nimtz Atam Anes Dinan, Shaleilu. That's Imi Hadin. We learned earlier in our Masechta, we avoid Imi Hadin to the extent that the Gemara says, L'moshel, we're never going to have a capital court case on a Friday, because since you cannot execute on the same day, you always have to have Halonas Hadin. And since you cannot go and execute on Shabbos, you'd have to wait until Sunday. Oy vavoy, if the Bezin is going to decide about this person that Chulila he's going to go and get executed, for him to sit on death row even for a minute, an hour, a day, that's all Imi Hadin. And like Ariel saying, theoretically this could go on for days, weeks, months, maybe years. And that being the case, doesn't seem to be right, it doesn't seem to be fit, you know. That's the din of Imi Hadin, that you cannot go and cause this person unusual distress. Once you paskin, once the decision is made of execution, you execute. Therefore, Elam Ula, Donav V'Soiklim, Donav V'Soiklim. Ula said, no, Rav Yehuda is not correct. Rather, each individual you give skila, each individual you get skila. Until what point, explains Rashi, until you hit the 50% mark. In the meantime, as long as you have 1, 2, 3, 4 yechidim, each yachid, the assumption is, we go baser the chazaka. The chazaka is, until we know that there's 51%, what's the din by all yechidim? They get skila. We're going to give them skila. So person number one, and person number two, and person number three, all will get skila. Once we hit 51 out of the 100, all of a sudden now it's going to go and change, and no longer skila. Now we're going to start administering. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yisai, you know how doctors make money? When they have patients. So if you look at the Rashi deals with this very issue that you are discussing. What's going to happen with the money? If you look at Rashi, Donan V'Soiklin, Rashi, a drop past halfway down the Amud, Donan V'Soiklin, on the right-hand side, a little bit past halfway down. Donan V'Soiklin, Rashi, ad chetzion, until we reach the 51% mark, whoever was found guilty, you give him skila. Why? The mechazkinan luhuki yechidim. Until the chazaka changes, that we know for a fact that 51% of the oilam has done avodah zarah, we have to go bust the chazaka that everybody's a yachid, v'donin, v'soiklin. U'mechetzion ve'eilach, as soon as we hit 51% mark, nizbar hadovel mafreya shehud churuba. From this point on, now we see retroactively that in fact, right. Obviously, those people that passed away already, that were executed, can't go and kill him again. He's presumably been buried, and he's been buried, and Barry will tell us in which section of the Beis HaChaim he's been buried.
In the first class section.
Exactly.
Now you have Don Barry, you have to take him out, and you have to
reinter him. And go and Chas Hashem decapitate him, right? But so, we're both saying, just let's just finish the Rashi and then everybody can jump. So now, and therefore, from now on, from Mr. 51, Vahava B'Saif, from now we start Saif. And therefore, Umamoinim Ovad. Umechetzion Ve'elech I'at Rishoi Lemashkin Lemisa Chamura. From now and on, meaning once you hit that 51%, you can no longer give anybody skila. From this point on, everybody has to go and get herik. But notice what did Rashi say? That once you hit the 50%, the mechetzin ve'elech, going back, Rashi in the middle, mechetzin ve'elech, nizbar hadova lemafreya, shehud churuba, behava b'sayov, those are the future people b'sayov, umamoinam ovad, in terms of the money that was there from before, from those people that had already gotten skila, from Rashi is mashma, that even they, lemafreya, were going to have a mamoinam ovad situation. Rashi is not crystal clear, because one could try to interpret it, that Rashi means to say, that nispar hadov lemafreya, that now we have roiv, v'hava b'sayif, umamoinam ovad, referring to the new guys. But then for that, I don't really need nispar hadov lemafreya. All I need to do is to say, now that I've hit 51%, from mikan al haba, it's b'sayif. So the mashmois of the Rashi is Nispar de Mafreya, that even on those that were killed, executed with skila, even they mamoinam ovad, even they will lose their money. And therefore, this is a very good trivia question. When do you ever have a situation where someone is oivid avodah zarah and gets skila, and nevertheless mamoinam ovad, he loses all of his property because hachri moisov, he has kol shlolo lefi, and you have to go and burn it, etc. From this Rashi, the Mashmois is that someone who was unfortunately part of the original 50%, where he got initially the skila, once we hit 51%, it becomes the Spar Lamafreya that he was part of the Roiv, and therefore his mumen will be Ovad and not Polat, notwithstanding the fact that he already got his skila. That's the Mashmois of the Rashi. The Art Scroll brings... The article brings B'shem the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was mafakpik. He says, yes, of course, that's the mashmois of the Rashi, but he didn't hold like that lahalacha. He felt that even once we decide that there's a din of mamoin, once we decide that that person is a yachid and gets skila, then automatically it's a package deal. It's a mamoin and polat and not ovat. Yes, questions, everybody said. And let me ask you a question. Every person in Iren Hidachas, why do you go and both execute him and destroy all the property? Come with Ramine, you already got the Misa. And the answer is that it's not that they are two separate Einshim for two separate Masim. The typical case of Kamad Rabinei is, for instance, the Gemara brings a person who is stealing on Shabbos, and he didn't steal it b'hagbah, he did it by Mashicha, so the Isser of the Gzela and the Isser of the Hoitzah took place simultaneously, because on the Hoitzah b'Shabbos, that's an Isser Shabbos that gives you Misa, and because of the din of the Mominus of the Gzela, That's a din of payment. So come live now, I'm going to inflict one oinish and not two oinishim. Here the Torah is telling us that someone who chas v'sholem is part of an eri dachas, that's the halacha. It's not that we're taking one over the other. The Torah says about it, it's one masa that is machayev two oinishim. What does it say in the pasuk? That once you determine that in fact this person was a oivin of oivin zara and it was part of roiv, says the pasuk, hake take es yoshua irahi lefi chorev. Everybody in that city, not everybody, but every one of the roiv that did avoid the zara gets chareb, that's hereg, and hachrim oisa, v'yes kol asher ba, v'yes behemta, lefi chorev, all the animals get chareb, they also get killed, v'yes kol shalola, tikboi filtoi chachoyv, v'ser after ba'esh. So therefore the din of kamer rabini doesn't apply because that is the double oinish that applies to the singular case of an oivet avoid the zara. Okay?
Now, halacha lemaaseh,
yes.
Those one that are killed by sekila, supposed to be killed by sekila,
right.
They need asroa, they ate it.
Right.
In a case of Ira Nidatas, where the rom, in practical terms, they are going to, those that are high sekila, they are going to get away off the hook. Because it's very difficult in a case of Ira Nidatas to give asroa, the kol echod le'echod, you should give a diet.
And no question that it's going to be difficult. But if you go back to the Mishnah of yesterday, here in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Mishnah addresses your concern, and the Mishnah says about 8-9 lines in, 10 lines in, everybody in the Ir Nidachas, you have to have two separate eight, even though it looks. So you had Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel. Anyone and every one of those that did avodah zara, you have to give them hasra, and you have to have two eidim telling them, yes. Rabbi, don't do that. If you do it, chas v'sholem, you're going to go and get misa. Yeah.
Even in nidachas, it's difficult. It should happen. That's the point.
There's no question. It's difficult.
The ones who are going to get tzayim, they're going to get it. Those that are chas v'sholem, halacha lemaaseh, they are likely to get away.
And what about those people that are chayiv heretz? Why are they not more likely to get away? Anytime that you have tons of people that are doing averis, it's hard to go and be done everyone individually. Look, every time they have one of these protests and demonstrations, whether it's here in America, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, you know, out of 10,000 people, they arrest 500 people, 200 people, or 5 people. It's impossible to get hold of everybody. Oh, that's that was a question that was raised by Barry yesterday, and the way we addressed it was that there's a machloikis in the Gemara whether or not when you're giving hasro la misa, does it have to be the specific misa, or is a generic misa, is that enough? According to Mani Yama that holds a generic misa is enough, then you don't have a problem. All you have to go and tell the person is, Mister, if you're going to do avodah zara, you're going to get misa's best. If you're talking about according to Mani Yama that you have to do specifically, it could very well be you're going to have to go and tell him you're going to get vadim, he says bezin, whether it's going to be skila, whether it's going to be chanik, is to be determined, not chanik, hereg is to be determined. And of course, that's the way you have to deal with it. Otherwise, how could you not? Unless, of course, according to this Mani Yama, the first 5, 10, 20 will tell them all skila. Once we see that it looks like it's right, or once we know that it's right, then we'll tell them, after the 51%, we'll tell them that you're going to get hereg. But your point, Rabbi, that it's going to be extremely difficult for this ever to happen, you'll recall the Gemara Daf Ayin Aleph, Omer Aleph, Ayin Aleph, Omer Aleph. The Gemara said there are three things that are brought in the Torah that loy hoya v'loy osid liyos. The first one the Gemara said was the Gavi de Ben Soir Umayra. It never happened, it never will happen. Number two, Irni Dachas loy hoysa v'loy asid liyos. And then number three, the Gemara brought the Gavi a bias hamanuga, particularly according to the Mani Yama that says that it's only if it's in the Keren Zovi, it's because it's got to be Kir and Kirois, it's got to be on both walls that hit the corner, it's got to be Orchish Negrisin, Rechove Kigris. Gemara said, according to the Mani Yama also, this is never ever happened, never will happen, so why does the Torah bring it? Droish Vekabelscha. So now we're being kavod schar because Baruch Hashem, it hasn't happened, it won't happen. We'll get the schar for learning the holy texts.
But that's the case. Going back to that subject, how is it they found all the hidden treasures that were in a house that they never know how you ever leave?
I guess that Mandiyama holds that they found it because they every Jew that bought a new house, or when they got the houses in the times of Yeshua and Menun, they just knocked them all down, just like you have nowadays. People buy lots with used houses, and they decided to go and demolish the old one, and they build new ones. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so we had so far Rabbi Yehuda that says Donav B'choyfshin, and then Ula said Nats Konizayin because of Ini Hadin, therefore Donav B'cyclin. And the Gemara tells us a third view. Itma. First we have Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Donav B'cyclin, just like Ula said. Reshlokesh Omar, Marbelem Batei Dinim. We're going to go and establish on that day 10, 20, 30, 40 Batei Dinim that they should all go and work simultaneously so that we should be able to don all of them on that day. And if that's the case, then we're going to go and able to determine whether we have roiv on that day. Of course, according to Ariel, it's very good if you have a city that only has 20 or 30 or 50 people. If you have a city that has 100,000 people, that's going to be much more difficult. Absolutely, I agree with you. But if you're talking about a small town or a small city, then you can go and be marv as many batei dinim as you need to go and do all of them together on one day. Once we determine that, in fact, even the same example that we had 100 people, 51 batei dinim all met that day, and they found that every one of those 51 people were guilty, then we're going to go and say, okay, Rabbi Isai, we're no longer a din of skila, they're all going to go and get herik. So that's how you would deal with that issue. Freit de Gemara, you're telling me that the local town is going to set up numerous batei dinim. Any, it's kunish zayin, vom Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Yossi, om Rabbi Oishia, what is that talking about? That's talking about a yachid that does avodah zarah. Then you take out the isha hu or the isha hi el shorecha. El shorecha means your own sharia ear outside of the city, and so people know and people see, and you go and give the person skilah. If you're talking about yachidim, that you do locally. If you're talking about en masse, when you're talking about an ir nidachas, you don't do it in the local town. Where do you do it? So if you go back to our first Mishnah in our Masechta, back on Dav Beis Amid Aleph, you recall that the Mishnah went through all of those cases that require 3 dayanim and 5 dayanim and 7 dayanim and 23 dayanim. And towards the bottom of the Amud Aleph, Beis Amud Aleph, 10 lines from the bottom, it says in the Mishnah, Ein oisir ir nidachas el al pi bezin sho shivim v'yachad. You have to have the bezin of shivim v'yachad. Shivim v'yachad means, of course, the Sanhedrin, the bezin of God on Yerushalayim. So if you happen to live in a small little town somewhere, even though 51 out of 100 have all been declared guilty of being part of an ir nidachas, that's ineffective. That doesn't work. It's got to be a bezin of 71. So what are you telling me? If I know that it's only yechidim, or if I suspect it's only yechidim, I can go and deal with all of those locally. That's not a problem. A bezin of 23. But once I suspect it's ir nidachas, don't I have to move the proceedings all the way to Yerushalayim? So that's the kashan Rish Lakish that says marvel hen batei dinim. Back to the Gemara. Ella says Imar Marbilhem Bati Dinam Uma Ainan Bininehan. We first, in fact, Rish Lakish is now defending himself, and he says that there are going to be two levels of judiciary process over here. The first level is going to be local, Marbil Bati Dinam, in that little town where they only have 100 people, they're going to have the 51 Bati Dinam decide what's the status. Do we have 51 guilty Oivde Avoid Azura or not? Once we realize, Rabbi Yisai, we got now not a bunch of yechidim on our hands, but we have a roiv on our hands, we go and hire huge egged buses, and we bus them all to Yerushalayim, and then the Bezin HaGadol will have to decide their fate. And that Bezin HaGadol is not just going to go and rubber stamp the original proceedings, but they are going to go and start all over again, asking all the questions to the Edom, and then when they decide, yo, we have an Iri Dachas, then unfortunately we'll begin to execute. So Mamla Bati Dina Ma'ainim Dinaim, Umaskin Luhulubezin Hagodal, the Gamilu Dinayu, the Katliluhu.
So what's the difference now than earlier, the Gemara?
Early in the Gemara said, in country Shlokish, you only have one level of process. Locally, you have the 51 Bati Dinim. Once we decide that they're all guilty of Oide Voidisara, and we decide that they're Roiv, from that point on, we execute each one of them Al Yidei Herik. According to Gemara's Teretz, no, we have to have one more judicial process. Whatever they did locally is great. Once we realize that we got a mass Oivdei Voidezora, Ir Nidachas problem on our hands, it's not just Yechidim, we bust them all to Yerushalayim, and then the Bezin HaGadol will then once again consider the evidence, and if they agree, Yo, Rabbeisa, you're right, we have an Ir Nidachas, they'll be done them all 71, and then we're going to go and Chas V'Shalom kill them.
It seems clear that never was an Ir Nidachas.
There's no question about it. All of these requirements certainly undermine the possibility that there was ever an Ir Nidachas. We're going to have the Mietzim tomorrow, and this is a Gemara that we already learned back daf in Ayin Aleph, that according to Reb Lezer, there's another reason why it could never be an Ir Nidachas, because since we said there's Kol Shalala Tikboitz El Toich Rechoyva, and we already learned in the Mishnah yesterday, Shlola V'loi Shlal Shemayim. So if you have Kisvi HaKodesh L'moshel, you're not going to go and burn them, but rather you have to be Yigonzu. So our Mishnah learned, you continue and you administer Sreifa for the entire town, because that's what it says in the Torah. V'es Kol Shlola Tikboitz El Toich Rechoyv V'Sarafta Ba'esh. Eser Ir V'es Kol Shlola. What about Shlal Shemayim? You'll quickly take those out from the heap of the middle of the city, and make sure that they are not going to be burnt. Any svarim, any sefrei Torah, any mezuzahs, anything and everything that is kadosh, shnel, take away that it should not be burnt, but the rest of the town is burnt. However, if Loz is going to tell us in the Braisa tomorrow, we learned this back on Daf Ayin Aleph, that the din of Eskol Shalol of Leshla Shemayim is not just an exemption for that particular item, but it now goes and excludes the entire town. By the fact that this town has in it mezuzois, then we're not going to go and burn anything. If you want to go, just take a quick peek, especially for Barry that may not be with us the entire time tomorrow because he has a bris. If you look at the 7th line in the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, see the top of the Amid 7 lines in. Ma'asni yisim d'loi kira bloza. The sign of bloza oimer kol ir shiyesh ba'fil mezuzah achas. You just have one mezuzah. No inidachas. And then we have the Sarafta Be'ish. It's the Irvias Koshlola. Call it Hashem Alikecha. Ve'echa dichsiv. Ve'echa di'ika mezuzah. Loi efshir. It's impossible. Why can't you burn a mezuzah? Because send the Pazik Sasi. Came Hashem Alikecha. Anyway, so according to that further riot to your brother Shai, that in fact, Eloi Hoyev Le'yev Le'nivra, every town has to have, at least one person has a mezuzah. You may have heard that there is a magazine, I think it's the Mishpacha magazine, that there's a Rabbi Eisenman, who is a Rav in Passaic, who writes there very frequently. And I remember seeing a few months ago, maybe a year ago, that he wrote an article that he had been in Eretz Yisrael not too long ago, and for some reason he had to go to Be'er Sheva. And once he was in Be'er Sheva, he heard that Stei Boker is very close to Be'er Sheva. And for those of you that don't know, probably all of you do know, Stei Boker is where Ben Gurion lived. So he heard that the Ben Gurion's house is still there from the times of Ben Gurion. And he figured, I'm happened to be in the neighborhood, let me take a look. So he went, took a visit, and he went in, and he said, it's a Spartan house. Spartan means there's no luxuries over there. It's all alta tzibrachana furniture, etc. All, you know, the minimum, no luxuries. And it shows you that Ben Gurion was a real idealist, and therefore he didn't come to Eretz Yisrael to make millions of dollars and to become a fancy politician and get bribes and all of that type of stuff. He was a real idealist, if you will, l'shem shemayim. So then Rabbi Eisenman leaves the house and he speaks to the Shomeret, the lady security guard, and asks her, tell me, is everything in this house exactly the way it was when Ben-Gurion died? And she said, everything in the house exactly, all the chairs and all the tables and everything, all the cutlery in the kitchen, everything is exactly the same, except for one exception. Exactly, that one exception was, and in the times of Ben-Gurion, he didn't have even one mezuzah on one doorpost, can you imagine? And after he died, then they inserted, they installed mezuzahs. Why he didn't have a mezuzah? Ich weiß nicht. But anyway, that's the story.
I was in his house in Tel Aviv, and I don't remember if it was mezuzah or not, but he had 20,000 books in his library in various languages. The guy told us it looked like he'd been through most of them. Okay. I'm talking about in Sanskrit, in German.
Did they have a Talmud Bavli?
Yeah.
He had
a Tanakh.
Yeah.
1,000
volumes. But he had Tanakh. I'm sure he had.
My books like that, not Ben Gurion.
Ben Gurion used to quote from Tanakh. However, Gemaris, I'm not so sure that he went from them cover to cover. I don't remember him being ever any of the Siyam HaShasas. But anyway, why don't we continue on? The important point is that one mezuzah saves the entire town from becoming an Ir Nidachas, according to that Man D'Amar, which mention we will focus on again tomorrow. Zokti Mar. So now in the middle of the Amud Aleph, Haki Takis Yoshua Hir Hahi Lefi Chorev. Tan Rabbanan. We already were quoting now. This is a brisa, of course, but the brisa is similar to the mishnah that we had yesterday. What happens if, in fact, you had your town of 100 people, and you have a chameres or gameles which is passing through the town, and either they do become oivdei avodah zarah, or they do not become oivdei avodah zarah, do we add them for purposes of calculating the roiv of the town? Remember the example we gave yesterday. You have a town of 100 people, you have a chameres or gameles. Chameres is a caravan of chamoirim or a caravan of gemalim. Of course, we're not worried about the chamoirim, the gemalim, we're worried about the people that are sitting on the backs of these chamoirim, gemalim, or in the carriages or wagons that are being schlepped by the chamoirim, gemalim. Let's say there are 50 people in a huge caravan. Do we add them to the 100 and now, for purposes of the Irin Dachas, 51 is not enough, now you're going to have, since you're 150 altogether, you have to have 76. So it said in the Mishnah that in fact we do count them and they can be matzil. The Braisa adds to our Mishnah only if they are, if you will, temporary residents. The fact that they're going through and they're buying a couple of bottles of water and they're sleeping overnight, that is not enough to induct them into the population of this town. So what is the period of time? Zokta the Braisa, 30 days. As long as they're going to be residents for 30 days, you count them towards the roiv to determine whether or not you have an irni tachas. So Zokta Braisa, Tan Rabbanan, Chameres v'Gameles, Oiveres v'Mokam v'Mokam, it's traveling. Lanu v'Soicha, if they stayed there and they slept there. V'Hudchu Ima, and unfortunately were mitkish left with the other people in town, that they also did avodah zarah. Im nishtoh sham shloishim yoim, if they stayed there for 30 days or more, then they become temporary residents, and you add them to the figures. You don't look upon them any longer as being yechidim. So if these 50, together with yoishve or ir, lefi chorev, if you have now a majority and you count them all together, then they will be included in the ir nidachas, and they will also be besayev, and also mamboinam ovad. However, pachas mikan, what happens if, yes, hudchu ima, but nevertheless, they still do not constitute a majority, or pachas mikan could go on the lamid, meaning that if it was not 30 days, it was only 25 days that they stayed there, so then we do not add them to the rest of the townsfolk, and then heim beskila, umamoinam palat, like a regular yochid that does avoid his heart.
But do you count them as zakayim?
You count them both for good and for bad. Meaning, if they are more than 30 days, they are identical to anybody else in town. So therefore, if they joined, unfortunately, and they did avodah zarah, since this town is no longer 100 people, now it's 150, then 76 are going to have to do avodah zarah to be considered an Eir Nidachas. And if you only have 72 or 73, you didn't get to the majority, then it's, even though based on the normal population, 72 is much more than 51, you have much more than half of your 100, but nevertheless, since they're there for more than 30 days, they're counted towards the Olam, and therefore they could, as you say, they could be mizaka, the Olam, that they shouldn't have a din of Herig, and Moinam of that, they would have a din of Skilem and Moinam Palat. On the other hand, if you have a town where 45 out of the 100 decided to go and do Avodah Zarah, so we don't have 51, but unfortunately with these newcomers, most of them unfortunately were convinced to join the bandwagon, and now we have 76 together with them that are doing Avodah Zarah, even though from the original town it's only 45, but I'm adding now 31 from the new 50 comers, so since I have my 76, unfortunately they'll be mechayev all of them like an Eir Nidachas. So basically they have the same din like anybody else once they're there for 30 days or more. Freitimar or Mini, is that really true that 30 days is enough? Didn't we learn in Bava Basra, how long do you have to stay in the city to become a member of the city? The Gemara doesn't tell us for what purposes, but Rashi tells us, Bekitzur, Litein Betzorchi Yair. In other words, that they have to pay local taxes. Don't forget, Rabbi said we have to pay estimated tax payments in a few days, on April 15th. So when do you have to pay local taxes? Only when you're there for 12 months or further, 12 months or more. Now we're not only talking about communal taxes, we're also talking for purposes of contributing towards the kupa tzedakah, and to the tamchui. Kupa tzedakah is the money, tamchui is the soup kitchen, the people would go and bring over chalas and bring people this and that. We have over here, locally in our community, a person by the name of Mr. Friedlander. Lovely, lovely person. And he was the one that started Toim Chishabbos here in Muncie. How did he start it? He had a house and he had a garage, and every Thursday they would funds that were collected for the purpose were used to go and buy a lot of food, and then they divvied it up into initially probably 25 or so packages, and then at night you had people that would go anonymously, drop it off at 12 o'clock in front of somebody's door, and then run away so nobody should see what's going on. Anyway, a local neighbor who was not religious saw that every Thursday tons of cars are coming and people are coming and going and going and coming, and was wondering what's going on. And as suspicious neighbors, they wanted to call the police to find out, who knows, maybe they're starting a business over here, maybe they're starting a shul over here, and it was only zoned for residential, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so the next door neighbor came over and said, can you tell me what's going on every Thursday? So he said, well we have a charitable organization where we go and distribute food to the needy for Shabbos. Oy, that's such a nice thing what you're doing. That's great. And the neighbor went home. A week later, she went and baked a beautiful, beautiful cake that was good for 10 or 20 people. And she says she wants to contribute towards the cause. Here's her cake that they should also distribute it for the poor people. Of course, she didn't realize that maybe it wasn't, she didn't use kosher ingredients. Even if she did use the kosher ingredients, I don't know whether she was Jewish. And even if she was Jewish, we don't know whether her pots and pans were milchik, fleishik, parva. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that there is something known as a tamchoi, even in the times of Chazal, and even today, that you go and distribute food to the poor. When do you have to do that? Only if you happen to be a resident for at least 12 months. So the Gemara says, shouldn't that be the guideline over here too? The same yardstick, also a full year. Not 30 days, but a whole year. So right there in a minute, come here, be here, can't you hear? You'd waste chaydish. So what are you telling me, 30 days? Omer of Lakasha, halamehevei mibnei masa, halamehevei meisvei masa. There's a difference between b'nei masa. B'nei masa means people that are actually living here. And then there are those that are yoishvei masa, that they are residents. Almost similar to the concept of citizenship, that you can be a full-fledged U.S. citizen after you get your green card and all the rest, or you can be a temporary or even a permanent resident even though you never went up to the Madrega of becoming a citizen. So become a citizen of the town, that you have to be Yud Beis Chodesh. And from that point on, then you have to contribute to all the communal responsibilities, whether it's taxes or tamchoy or kupa, etc. Mashenken, if you're Yoishvei Masa, you have to be a resident. Resident, you do not have any of these requirements. However, you already are sufficient for purposes of the din of Irni Dachas. You're wondering why? Because the Pasuk says, Yotzu Anoshim Ibnei B'Yahal Mikribecha, Vayadichu Es Yoishvei Irom Leimar. It doesn't say Es B'nei Ho'ir, it's Yoishvei Ho'ir. A Yoishiv is as long as soon as you become 30 days. For instance, in Chutz La'aretz, on the Mechuyiv Mezuzah after 30 days. Now you're a Yoishiv, you're actually residing there. Until now you were just a temporary. Now it's a permanent. Fine, and then after 30 days you become Ki Yoishvei Ir. To become B'nei Ho'ir, that you have to be a full 12 months. Now just in case you think that that pshat is a little bit remote, says Yimavatani, I'll bring you a raya from a braisa. Hamudr hanom b'nei ho'ir. What happens if you have a difficult character and for some reason he doesn't get along with others, and either he makes a neder or they make a neder that they shouldn't have a noah from one another? So if he made hamudr hanom b'nei ho'ir, using those words, I'm making an isra noah from b'nei ho'ir. Em yesh odim shenishto hashem yud beis chodesh asli harz mimena, because he's been there for 12 months. Pachas mikan mutali odz mimena, because he's not b'nei ho'ir. He's only there 11 months, not 12 months. But if he's mudra no mi yoishvel ir, and the shalom and yoim aser, lihanis mimenu, pach mikan mutra, lihanis mimenu. So you see, in fact, that there is this distinction between Pneyo ir, and between yoishvel. Vayt hachrim oisov yas kol hashabah. Ton rabban. So the lashon of the pasuk is, hachrim oisov. Hachrim means that eventually we're going to go and burn everything. First pasuk just says hachrim, which is a lashon of destruction. How are we going to go into the destruction? So the next pasuk says, "V'yes kol shlaga tikvoy tzol teich rachayv v'saraftav eish." The destruction is going to be through fire. And as far as animals are concerned, it says, "V'yes behemta l'fi charev." That we're going to kill the animals, yes, l'havdil, like you kill the human beings, l'fi charev. Okay, zokti mayetz toner bay. Okay, so now in the Mishnah we already made the distinction between nechassim that were in the city and nechassim that were outside of the city. And we said by a tzaddik is defined as someone who did not participate in the avodah zarah. Since he didn't participate, he's not going to go and get misa. But nevertheless, any property that he owns, which is situated in that city, will also be destroyed. If he has property outside the city, exempt. Rishoyim, on the other hand, any property that they have, whether it's in the city, outside the city, everything has to be destroyed. And the Gemara is going to say, where do you take this from? And we're going to go into some of the details. Zok de Braisa. Tonabana. Hachri oisa. The words Eskola Sheba are unnecessary and misleading because the drush is from the Hachri oisa. Hachri oisa. Prat le nixe tzadikim shebechutzula. It's got to be oisa. Oisa means that town. And the town by definition means and anything which is in the town. Like when you buy a house, you buy it with the fixtures in the house. So the oisa means anything which is in the town. If you're a tzaddik and you have property outside the town, that is not included and that you do not have to go and burn. However, the eskol ashebo, now we continue on the second half. Hachrim oisa vi eskol ashebo, the rabbi's nech tzaddikim shebetoicha. Even though he himself is a tzaddik and therefore he's not going to go and get misa, nevertheless, since it happens to be this kol ashebah, everything in the town, even the nechosim, the tzaddikim, are also destroyed. We're going to ask in a moment, what is this svara? Where is the lechoyer? This is not right. This person is a tzaddik. He was not enticed to do avodah zarah. Why is his property going to be destroyed? So we're going to discuss that shortly. But in the meantime, that's the halacha. Nechoshet shebetoicha is destroyed. Anything outside is not destroyed. Now the pasuk continues on. Hachri moisov yes kol hashaba v'yes kol shalala l'fi charev.
He didn't do it with a zara, but he was a tzaddik.
He's a minority. He's a minority. He's one of the 20,049 who didn't look at the zara. The rest of the craft is destroyed.
Yeah,
he's a
tzaddik. That's a good question.
Yeah,
that's a good question. You said he was 49.
According to Rabbi Lazar, if that tzaddik, and even if a Rasha has one mezuzah on his doorpost, even though he worshipped that Avodah Zarah 100 times, and even though Roiv of the town are Oivd Avodah Zarah, again, according to Rabbi Lazar of tomorrow, that's matzu the entire town. But that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah disagrees. That's why the Gemara tomorrow will say that Masis and Deloik Rabbi Lazar, because according to Rabbi Lazar, once you have that one mezuzah, that one sefer, matzah the whole town. According to our mission, that's not the case. Rather, it's shlol v'loy shlal shemayim, which is an extra gemara, that anything which is shlal shemayim, such as a mezuzah, that yigonzu, take it away, put in geniza, do not burn it, Rabbi Yisai, because Pasuk says, l'sasin kem l'shem l'kechem, you now let it go and destroy any mezuzahs or any sefer Torah, any svarim, etc., as we know. Anyway, getting back to our gemara, so by a tzaddik we have differentiated between nechse tzaddikim shebechutza lo, since it says hachrein oisa, only that town and not property which is outside. But since it says there's kolasher ba, that includes nechosim which are in that town, even though they belong to tzaddikim, unfortunately they have to be burnt. But if those nechosim include shlola, which means shlola, you do burn. If he had mezuzahs and he had tefillin and he had sefer Torah, svarim, whatever, then avada, those are all yigonzu according to our Mishnah. V'es kol shlola. Now it doesn't just say v'es shlola; it says v'es kol shlola. The rabbis nichzer rishoyim shechutzalah. Even nichzer rishoyim which are outside the city, they also have to be burned. Now you're wondering where would they be burned? The Gemara is going to tell us shortly. Rav Chis is going to tell us, nikpotzim l'toicha, you move them from wherever they are and you bring them into that city. In other words, you don't make multiple bonfires in multiple communities. If one community unfortunately became Oiv the Ir Nidach, became Ir Nidachas, and you have Rishoyim and they have property elsewhere, you go and haul the property from somewhere else and you bring it l'toicha r'choyva into this town for burning.
Only
What about the real estate?
So let me ask you, don't talk about real estate from somewhere else. What about the real estate here? Can you possibly burn the real estate? No. If you're talking about houses, you're 100% right. But if you're talking about the ground, you can only at most singe the ground. You can't burn the ground, as you know. So, no, you do not have to go and take apart houses elsewhere, demolish them, and bring the demolished home here to the city and burn it. We're only talking about metal. That's correct. Anyway,
so they would destroy homes also.
It gets worse than that, my friend. The pasuk says, "V'hoisel tel oilam loisibone oid." This is going to be a permanent heap of dust and ash and debris. There's going to be a big sign on this town. Originally, was the town of Hotzenplatz. And it was burned because of the fact that they were oivdi ernidachas, and the whole thing was demolished, destroyed, burned to the crisp. Of course, to the extent it never happened, and never will happen, you're not going to have to go to the printers to print such a sign. Getting back to our Gemara. Zog di Gemara vayte, v'es kol shlolim lo shlal shemayim. V'es kol shlolim et ha-kol, the rabbis nechzer shom shechutzalah, that those would also be burned. Omer b'shimen. Why is that the nechosim should go and be destroyed of the tzaddikim? The tzaddikim, we're not killing them, so why do you say mamoinam ovat? And v'dimar, migorim lehem shiyadura b'saycha, mamoinam, v'ich mamoinam ovat. If you have a town where instigators were able to convince roiv of the people to do avodah zarah, these guys were no groyser tzaddikim and chasidim to start off with. Obviously, these were people that were susceptible to this type of instigation and this type of convincing to do avodah zarah. So tzaddik, why are you living in this town? You should be living in Yerushalayim. You should be living in Bnei Brak. V'kim tacharan in a town nebuch of kofrim and people that are likely or at least susceptible to avodah zarah. And therefore, since they decided, why did they decide to live there? Presumably because they had parnasa there. They had a nice field which they were able to cultivate and make nice crops. Or they owned a computer business, or whatever it was. That's the reason why they moved to that town. That's why we're going to punish the mamain, so to speak. Amamah, steht weiter in the Pasuk. It's kol shelo letikmoit letoich rechoy. So we just said, the rabbi's next to Rishon, shebechutzola, even if it's from outside the city. Amar Rav Chisda, umenikbotzim letoicha. What does this mean? So Rashi says it has two halachas here. Number one, that the only, let's assume that the local bezin has decided that Monday morning, as kol shelo letikmoit letoich rechoyva, we're going to go and destroy everything on Monday. Any property which is within a close radius that you can bring the metaltlin from that other town so that it's going to land up there on Monday, then what happens if the town or the city where the property is happens to be twice 500 miles away, where it's only going to arrive on Tuesday or Wednesday, even with FedEx, it's not going to come the same day, then there's no din of Sreifa. It's only Nikbatsu Sreifa that it's possible to bring it on that day that they've decreed that this is the day for the Sreifa of this town. If it comes a day later, not included. In other words, don't even bother shipping it. That's one pshat. Rashi says yet another pshat that it means that L'choy the Girsa should be U'Benikbatsim Bitoicha. Property that at one time was within this town, and over the years it went and drifted to other towns. Meaning that this person, Nechweis, owned multiple stores, one store in this town, and then Baruch Hashem, as he became more wealthy, he went and bought more Schoira, and he opened the store in another town. But it has to be that Schoira originally was within this town, and now finds itself elsewhere. Rashi used the expression that they are mufkodim biyad acher. However, property that was never in this town, such as, says Rashi, someone who in the early dachas yarshined now property from his father, from his zayda, whatever, somewhere else, and that property was never brought nikbatzim esaycha, then it's immune and does not have the din of early dachas property. Next shikul, Umar of Chisda, big doinishal anchi early dachas. Mutar. If you have a bikodoin, then it's mutar. Frey Timara, what is the situation? What do we mean? What's the fact pattern? Hechidam. Ilema di irach keres. This no bigavo. Are we talking about property that belongs to another individual from another town? And he was not one of the Rishoyim, and he didn't live in this town. And it happens to be that he heard that people in this town have good safes and good treasuries. So he went and left a bikodoin with someone in this Ir Nidachas town. And now, unfortunately, most of them have now erred and followed the Avodah Zarah. So now we're going to destroy the whole property, the whole town, this Kol Shelo LeTikboit LeTorech HaChayva. And you're telling me about that bikodoin from somebody else, from outside the community, that it's mutter? Pshita de mutar, lav shlalu. It's not the shlal of this town. It's the shlal of that individual from the other town. So of course you wouldn't go and burn it. You're going to burn all the property over the face of the whole world. Chas v'shalom. The Elah Didu. It's talking about that it's property of this town, of the Irnidachas. This Novi Racheres. And it's talking about that property was left as a Bikodin in another town. So Frey Timara. So then, remember we just had Rav Chisda. And this again, the same Rav Chisda saying this Allah. If you can go and ship that property over quickly to this town on that Monday for the burning, so it was within close proximity, Rav Chisda just said now, it's Mitzvah L'Toicha, then you have to go and burn it. It's Nechser Rishoyim Shebechutzala, which is local, bring it in and burn it. The LMIV in Einik Mitzvah L'Toicha, if it's far away, it's only going to arrive on Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever. Didn't you just say a moment ago that if it's not Nikbatsim L'Toicha, it's mutter, and we're not going to burn it? So, why is Rav Chisda repeating himself? If that's what it's referring to, that it's property from the Anche Irnidachas, but it's elsewhere, it'd be called in another place. If it's close proximity, bring it and burn it. If it's not in close proximity, Rav Chisda already said this halacha once. What do you have to say it twice? It's really talking about property that belongs to Yankel Beryl Shmerl from another town, another community. And it's Gefinzach, and you find it now here in this town. So you ask, no, of course it's Mutter. It's not Irnidachas, it's not Shlola. We're talking about that Shomer was not a Shomer Chinam. He was at least a Shomer Socher that took upon himself Gneva Veda. And certainly if he's a Shomer that took upon himself Oinsen, since we're Makabal Achrayis, Mao the same Akim, the Kibal Le Achrayis, Kididei Dami. It's like it's his, because it's his liability. If it turns out that any property that's under his Shmira gets destroyed, or gets lost, or stolen, he's going to have to pay for it. So if he's going to have to pay for it, that means it's as if it's his own money. It should be like Shlola. Kamash Malon, no. It's for Nishka Shlola. It belongs to the other guy, and therefore, we're not going to burn it. Omer of Chizda. When I'm there, the Behema, which is Chet Shalini Nidachos, Chet Shal Iracheres. Now, we don't mean that the city owns it. We mean that they're two individuals that own it. One who is an Ir Nidachas person, and one who's in another city. And they both own one animal, 50-50. What's the din now? Zotimora Asura. What means Asura? Explains Rashi. Even if you were to go and shecht this animal and say, let's go and split it down the middle and give 50% to the other person who does not live in the Ir Hanidachas, Asur, it's Asur Bachila, you're tunish. What's the reason why? Explains Rashi. Well, why don't we finish the Gemara and then we'll see the Rashi. What happens if you have the identical case, not by Ibrahim, but you have Isa? You have a dough where 50% of the dough belongs to the person who's the Ir Nidachas guy. 50% belongs to someone from another town. Then it's Muteres. Then the other 50% is Muter. In other words, split it down the middle and give 50% of the Isa to the person from the other town. Pray tomorrow, Manishtana, my timer. So I'll tell you why. Behemer command the loy pligadamia. Isa command the pligadamia. When it comes to Isa, it's very simple. You have over here, chvais, a volume of a gallon's worth of Isa. So give a half a gallon to the person from the other town, and leave a half a gallon here. Just split it down the middle. However, when it comes to Shchita, says Rashi, Ein Shchita, Efshel, the Kzai is possible Shchita. To go and shecht it, you have to go and shecht the entire animal. You can't go and just shecht a half an animal. That being the case, were you to go and shecht it, every single molecule, every single cell, every single bit of behema is all becoming mutter, so to speak, through that shechita. However, you can't go be matter that portion that belongs to the Ir Nidachas, because that is all hachrei moisovies koshlola, and this belongs to the shlal of that community. And therefore, since you cannot go and subdivide this animal pre-shechita, because even were you to do a shechita, says Rashi, it doesn't have the style of shechita, because shechita would be matir basar. This is not matir basar, because 50% is always going to remain asur. So Rashi says, you deem it, he's not a shoichet, he's just a maimis. It's as if he just killed the animal by taking a baseball bat and hitting it over the head, even though he didn't do it that way.
He killed it with a cherev, now with a chalaf, with a cherev, so he's mekayim the mitzvah. When he's shechting the behema, he's mekayim the mitzvah of destroying the property of the picharev.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. And therefore, he's mekayim what we're supposed to. But I would have thought, take 50% of the animal and ship it back to the inhabitant of the other city and give it to him. Kamash Malon, know that the entire behema, it all is osir from top to bottom because of the fact that you can't go and split it down the middle. So then this misa, you've accomplished the mitzvah as you say, but it did not accomplish a kosher shechita, even though it was a good shechita and he did a kosher shechita. It's shechita shena ruya, right? It's like a shechita shuya lav shmo shechita type of thing. And therefore, that's the reason why the whole thing becomes awesome. Now, zok yetz the Gemara. Boy Rav Chisda, behemas ir nidachas, maud tishani bo shechita letar midei nevela. What happens if you did take a shechita on no longer 50-50, it's a behemoth Ir Nidachas, and you shechted it, so you mekayim take a lefi charev. The question is, lefi charev amar rachmana, lo yishna shechta mishkat, lo yishna katla mikvel. What you've done is, if you have killed the animal, regardless of the fact that you killed it through a kosher shechita, but you killed it, and therefore it's like any nevela, and be careful, don't get close to it, don't touch it, because if you touch it, you're going to become tameh. And you'll have to go to the mikveh. Even though taka, you killed it and you cannot eat it, but as Barry was saying a moment ago, the Question is, vadi, it's not kosher shechita for purposes of eating, but is it a kosher shechita for purposes of removing the taint of tumas nevela? The Gemara, for instance, in Kochim talks about what happens if you started off with a treif, an animal that I know is treif. How do I know? Because of the fact that the doctor said that there is a hole in the lungs or a hole in the heart, and it's just a question of another day or two, it's definitely a treif. And you decide to go and shecht it. You open it up and you see the doctors were right when they did their sonogram. In fact, there is a hole. It's definitely treifa, lichatchilam, b'diyevit, you cannot eat it. But it doesn't have a din of nevela that you become tamei when you touch it. No. So the same shayla over there, the Gemara is asking over here. You did a shechita she'ein ruyet. It was a kosher shechita, but it's not a shechita that's mater b'achila. Would you say that the shechita is mater it, that it doesn't have a din of nevela or not? My, so tomorrow take or teach me a tarot. So since it's a suffering nevela, stay away from touching it. Boy Rav Yosef, what about saying Noshim Tzidkonius mouth? What about the women's hair of the Tzedekisim? Because it happens to be of the Rishayim. If it belongs to the Rishayim, we said, all Shlola Tikvot Tzayis Rechayim. Now the Gemara in the Havamina assumes that we're talking about natural hair which is attached to their heads. So Frank Tzimor, what's the din mouth? Since these happen to be Tzidkonius, didn't we say that in the chosim of even Tzadikim Tzidkonius, if it's in that town, it's got to be burned. So maybe we have to remove the hair from these women's heads, and we have to go and burn them. It's part of the Shlalu ear, even though they're Tzadikim and Tzidkonius. Wow. So Amar Rabba, so Rabba now says to Rav Yosef, Hadr Shia is Asur. Are you telling me that we're only asking the Shaila to bring out the natural hair of Nashim Tzidkonius? That means that the hair of Rishantis is certainly also that we have to go and give them a good solid haircut and take all of that hair and burn it. That doesn't, it's not mistaver, says Rava, because the Pasuk says, Ves koshlola tikboitza toichra chayva visaraftiksiv, lishayna machusa el kvitza visraifa, yotzezesha machusa tlisha ukvitza usraifa. Here you have to go and do a tlisha as well. The Torah doesn't require tlisha, it only requires the sraifa. Kvitza and Sreif. Therefore, Ela Marova, I'm going to explain what Rav Yosef really meant. He's not talking about natural here, he's talking about Bepei and Nachris, what we call a Shaitel, a week. So what's the din by such weeks? If an Amza belonged to the Rishantis, then Avadi you have to go and burn it. The question is, if it belongs to Tzedekis. Say, Echidami, either Mechuber Begufa, Kegufa Dami, if she's wearing it, Rashi doesn't say anything that has to be Mechuber, that you have to put on some sort of glue. Mechubel Kuf means if she's wearing it, then Kikufa Dami. And just like, since she is a Tzedekis, you don't kill her, as well as you don't go and burn the begodim that she is wearing, because they're all bottled to her guf. And since she is going to go scot-free, because she's a Tzedekis, she didn't worship a Vaidasar, then the begodim that she's wearing are going to go scot-free, and therefore the shekels that she's wearing should be like an article of clothing. It's talking about that it was on top of a shaitel head. Literally, a sifta means it's on a peg. It's hanging from a peg or from a hook. More like the women have today, the shaitel heads. So what's the din? Do you say, okay, since it's not on her head, it's not attached to her head, it's like any metalklin. So take all the metalklin in the house, including all the cutlery and her pots and pans and anything and everything which you can be metaltal, take it with toichra choiva and burn it, to burn the shaitel as well. Since she's often putting it on, Rashi says, regila lekoishra todir, and every time she goes out in the market, she always goes and immediately puts it on, and after every shower and after every bath and every whatever, she always goes and covers her head at all times. So even if at that particular moment it happens to be besichsa kilavusha dami, it's like any lavush that she is wearing that we're not going to go and burn. So we wouldn't go and burn this as well. Again, teiku tishbi atatz. That's koshlo tikva toich rechayva.
A lavush is not going to be enough.
From Rashi is mashma that any malbushim she oleha are exempt because they become buckled to her guf, but any begotim that she would have in the drawers or hanging in the closet, they would all be burned, because even though they're nechsi tzadikim, betoicha, are all destroyed. Everything okay? I hear the discussion in the background. Do we need to address or we continue on? Right. So remember, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that if it didn't have rechayv, call the contractors and build the rechayv. One of the requirements for any dachas is it has to have rechayv. There's no rechayv, there's no kikar, right? Our good friend Shlomo from Eretz Yisrael told us it's called a kikar. If there's no kikar, then zok to Rabbi Shmuel, then forget about it. No any dachas. Rabbi Kiva oyma ein rechayv, ois la rechayv. Rabbi Kiva is a tana ban mishnah that said no rechayv, make rechayv. The Maikam if Marisa Rechoy Mikar Mashma. The one it says, as Koshlo Tikva Tesh Rechoyva means the pre existing Rechoy that was there at the time of the commission of the Avodah Zarah. Marisa, no Rechoy Mahashma, Nami Mashma. Even a brand new Rechoy, a street is a street, a Kikar is a Kikar. It doesn't make a difference whether it was there originally or whether you build it now. Take all of the Shlala and Tikva Tesh Rechoy. See, have a Machlakis. Back to the Mishmak, Deisha Shabbat. Yipato, any hegdish inside the town, you're pited. Tanarban. Now the Bryce is going to go into this in much more detail. And we're going to have a machloikas tanakam and ripshim. Look at tanakam. Ho yu ba kochim. If they're kochim in that town. Okay, so there's an exemption of shlola v'loy shlal shamayim. Now it depends what type of kochim. If it's kochim is bayach, yomusu. Kochim berikabayis, yipadu or yiftu. So, the way we can understand that the Mishnah and the Braisa are consistent is our Mishnah, when it says, Egdeshe Shabbat Yipadu, it's talking about, like the Braisa said, Kochim is Be'er. I'm sorry, Kochim Be'er. You had gone and you were Maktish, a chair, a table, a pen, your watch, and you gave it to the Gizbar. So now it's all Kochim Be'er. The Gizbar can do whatever he wants with it for purposes of the base of Mikdash. Or if he says, well, I already have 50 pens and 80 watches, you can be pointed and you can go and take it back. So if it's kochim benikabayis, don't go and burn it in the eridachas, rather be pointed, and then it'll be exempt. It won't have the din of eridachas. What happens about the kochim mizbeach? That's yamusu. Now what means yamusu? Says the top Rashi on the right hand side. Normally we said that if you have an animal inside the eridachas, v'yes kol behemta lefi chorev, you decapitate it, just like you do by a person. Rachman litzlah. However, since his kochim is beyach, it's shlola v'loy shlal shamayim, it goes to misa. What's misa? Coins and oisin lekipa, like we had in the Gemara's earlier, by people, that certain times you put a person into a kippa. Here too, you take the animal, and you put him into a kippa, and you feed it se'oirim, ad shekreisin nifka'as, and then it dies. Now you're wondering, what's going on over here? Why would you go and say that it goes lemisa? Why isn't there an exemption of behemta v'loy behemas shlola v'loy shlal shemayim? So we're going to talk about this in another moment. We're going to see Omar will explain. But that's the Rashi so far. It's yamusu, we put into a kippa. Utrumais, what's the din if you have any truma in the town? You're covered. You let those rot. We're going to talk about that shortly. We spoke about Kisvei Kodesh like a mezuzah. And the same thing applies to Master Sheni. Don't destroy it because it has the status of Kodesh. But don't eat it. Yigonzu, put in Gediz. We're going to talk about all this Rabbi Sashon.
Excuse me. Doesn't it mean Master Sheni money? Wouldn't be Gonei's produce? It would rot.
Pashup Shad is talking about the actual Master Sheni itself. But let's wait until we see the rest of the daft. There's plenty more to go to by side. Zok the Gemara, this is the Tanakama. Reb Shimon Oimer, Behem Tov Eloi Behem is Pachor. We're talking about, we have an exemption. Until now we're talking about Shlola Eloi Shlal Shemayim. There's another exemption, Behem Tov Eloi Behem is Pachor. And Behem is Pachor Umayser. What's the difference between Behem is Pachor Umayser as opposed to all other Korbanos? We'll see shortly in the Gemara. A normal carbon, if it's a tam, you bring it as a carbon. If it gets a mum, you're poided. Behemoth bechor and meiser are totally different. And that is, when you have a behemoth bechor, you give it to the kohen. And if it's a tam, the kohen brings it for a carbon. If it's a balmum, he shechs it b'mumay. You're not poyed it, you eat it the way it is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you shechs it b'mumay. Same thing applies to Mas Behemah. Only thing is Mas Behemah doesn't go to the Kohen, Mas Behemah belongs to the Baalim. If it's a tam, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and if it's a Baalim, you shechs it outside, almost like chulin. Like Barry likes to say, chulin plus. But we're going to talk about that as well shortly. So that's behem toch, fully behem is b'choru ma'iser, that's excluded. We're going to see in the Gemara what the case is. Now that's behem toch. Then it says shlola, prat, lekesef hegdish. What does it say after that, Barry? What's after kesef hegdish? Kesef ma'iser. It's mashma that the ma'iser sheni that we were talking about before was talking about edible produce as opposed to money. Good. Omamak, we start again the b'raiser. Ho yuba kochim, if it's kochim mizbeach, yamusu. Freitimar, v'may yamusu. You're talking about that it's mizbeach. If it's mizbeach, it's kodesh. It's shlola v'lo shlal shemai. Now, if it would be kodesh ben kapayis, what did we say? Be pointed. So by kodesh mizbeach, we should also be pointed. But you can't be pointed when it's a tam. A tam you have to go and bring as a carbon. Oh, wait. Yirat shistavu, and then yipadu. So it should have the same status, just like the kodshay benikabayis, just you gotta wait until it gets him. Yirat shistav yimachar yibul nev l'dova. So Gemara gives two answers. Rabbi Yochan Omar, zebach rishoyim te'eva. Since we're talking about an animal from an irni dachas, and either it belongs to the Rasha, or even if it belongs to the tzaddik, but the din is, that's mamoinim avad, and the reason we gave a remember on the Yomid Aleph, is the time of the krah, is because the person moved to this town because of mamoniz. So therefore the money is or avad. So it's a te'eva. And not only the original animal is te'eva, says Rabbi Yochanan, even the derivative of that animal, meaning even if you were to wait a month or a year until it gets a mum, and then you want to be pointed, what are you going to do with the money? The money is also te'eva money. So therefore there's no purpose in being pointed because the whole kitten caboodle, the whole animal, even the money of the value of this animal is all te'eva. That's why you lose. Rish Lakish Omar, I disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why Rish Lakish disagrees is because he holds that the thing be'en is taka zevach rishoyim te'eva. But once you've converted it into money, it's a givaldi yeshinui. We're no longer talking about the animal, we're talking about the money now. The money, that's not the original kodshim. So that already, you would be able to be pointed, except for the fact, says Rish Lakish, that we're talking about mum and balim who. How is it mum and balim? Reb Shimon says that if it's kodesh b'shechai b'chriyusan, what's the definition of chai b'chriyusan? That he made a neder, not just a nedava. He says, I'm going to go and bring a carbon oila. It's a neder. So if this animal gets lost, it gets killed, whatever happens to it, I got to go and shell out new money from my pocket to go and buy a carbon oila. So this oila is worth every dollar to the balim. He doesn't want it to get lost or destroyed. And therefore, since he has achrayis means that he has to bring a replacement, he wants this animal dearly. Oh, so they'd say, if it's like mum and balim. If it's mum and balim, you don't get the exclusion of shlola v'lo shlal shemayim. It's mum and balim. And that's why you don't say, be pointed. That's Reb Shimon Idi, omam mum and balim. Zokti moravaiter, ha midasefer Reb Shimon, Reish Alam Reb Shimon. Gemara says this teretz that Reish Lakish gave of why we don't say Yirat Shistav of Yipadu. The reason is because it's mum and balim because it's omer kodesh b'shchay b'achriyusan. Therefore, opinion is not going to help. It's shlala. It's the shlal. It's not shlala v'lo shlal shemayim. It's shlala. It's personal property of the owner of this animal because it's mum and shchay b'achriy. So the pshat is a very good pshat, but I got a problem. You can't say that the Tanna Kamma is Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon is the fourth line of the price at the top of the Amid. Reb Shimon couldn't be arguing with himself. I'm going to say Reb Shimon, Yireish Alav Reb Shimon. Everything, Gemara, you're right. Again, the price is talking about, it's going to be Mum and Balim, but not a Libet Reb Shimon, a Libet Reb Yoisi HaGlili. Bekotchim Kalim, Reb Yoisi HaGlili, Yamakotchim Kalim, Mum and Balim. What is the Gemara's Teretz? The Gemara's Teretz is same as before. We're going to talk about Kodshim is Beach, which are Mum and Balim. Since they're Mum and Balim, that's why it's called Shlola, and that's why Yamusu. We don't go and say, Poidit, and it's off the hook. It's Mum and Balim. According to Shimon, how was a mum and balim? Makes a difference whether it's kachim kudishim, kachim kalim. The important thing, was it a neder or an endeavor? If it's a neder, you're chai bachrai. If you're chai bachrai, it's your money. It's mum and balim. It's mum and balim. Shlola, you got to go and kill it. Ah, you're going to go and tell me. So why don't we go and do the fichorev? Why did Rashi say, Yamusa, you go and do it with, by koins and oisel the keeper? Says Rashi, because since this has kedusha in this animal, it's a bizoyin to go and just go and shecht it together with all of the other animals in the town. It's not like all the other animals. The other animals are all chulin. This is kosher. So it has a special din, koins and oisel the keeper, and it has its own natural death, not through the cherev process. Okay, according to Reb Shimon, how did this carbon become shlola and like chulin? Because of the fact that it was a kachim shechai b'chiyusa. Whether it was kachim kodeshim, whether kachim kalim, makes no difference. Kachim shechai b'chiyusa, it's his personal property. According to the new teretz, yes, it's kachim, it's mom and balim, but not because it's kachim kodeshim or kachim kalim, neder nedova. The reason is because it's kachim kalim, the b'yosa glili. Tim kachim kalim, mom and balim. Why is kachim kalim considered to be mom and balim? Because it's a pusik. It says by the carbon osham that if a person went and stole money, for instance, you have to go and bring a carbon osham. Now, that carbon osham is an hasham gzeilos. But it says in the pasuk that he was molam mal bashem. And what did he do? The chichesh b'pikadon, oy b'sumas yod, oy b'gezel, oy osha kesamisoy. Rabbi said, that's not an ila bashem. That is stealing from your neighbor, stealing from another person. Mechichesh ba'misoi. Sumas yod. Oishik oshik asamisoi. Gezel. Pikod. Whatever it happens to be. Why does the Torah use more about Hashem? So B'yosei Glili, to go and give, to be marva, not only real personal property, but even kachim kalim. That even that has a status of personal property. And therefore, that's why it adds the more about Hashem. Ah, so once it becomes personal property, then it becomes shlola. You don't have the exemption of shlola v'lo shlav shemayim, and therefore that's why it has to go l'misa. Ah, you're going to go and tell me, so why don't we do l'fi charev? Again, because since it has kedushas carbon, we make a shinoi, and we put it l'kipa instead of shechting it, or instead of decapitating it. Says Yimara, okay, so according to this pshat of Reish Lakish, I understand now why it says Yamusu and not Yirashi Estavu. But that's only because it's Kachim Kalim, which is Mama Bala. What happens if the Kachi Kudishim Mai? What would be the din? Now, our Gemara says the word Yipadu, really it should say Yiru, which is really both the same thing. I mean, since it's a Tam, Yirashi Estavu, the Yiplu Domain, and then you'll be pointed subsequently. So that's, although it says on the side, change the Girsu to Yiru, which is Taka, the better Girsu, but it's basically the same. So, frankly, Morris, it's only by kachim kalim there's a din of that yomusu, because it only by kachim kalim mum and balim it has a din of yomusu. But what would be by the din of kachi kudishim? It would be yiru achi estavu v'yipadu. So, oibazoi frating mara adatoni seifa. Let's go back to the beginning of the brisa on the second line from the top of the omid. Hoyu b'kachim kachim isbeach yomusu kachim v'rigabai is yipadu. Why do I go from Kodshe Mizbeach to Kodshe Berikabayis? Let's talk about Kodshe Mizbeach itself and distinguish. If it's Kodshe Mizbeach, which is Kodshe Kalim, Yamusu, because it's considered to be Mum and Balim. But if it happens to be Kodshe Kudishim, then you wouldn't say Yamusu. What would you say? You'd say Shlola V'lo Shlal Shemayim, that it's exempt. So, or that you should be pointed. Like, why? So therefore, why are we saying Kodshe Berikabayis? Kodshe Berikabayis Yipadu, you should go and say, Kodshe Kudishim Yiru, and then Yipadu. So out of Tony Sefer, Kodshe Berikabayis Yipadu, Lifling Lissim B'dida. But when do we say, Kodshe Mizbeach, Yomusa B'Kodshe M'Kalim? And Kodshe Kudishim Yiru, Ashi Stavu V'Yipadu. Everything, Mara, you're 100% right. That's the real way it should say in the Braisa. The reason why the Braisa jumps from Kodshim Mizbeach to Kodshim Berikabayis and doesn't say that in Kodshim Mizbeach itself it depends whether it happens to be Kodshim Kalim or Kodshim Kudishim, because in Kodshim Kudishim what would be the din? Yirachi Yistavu, and then you'd be pointed. I'll tell you why. Kim de ikka chatosh meis ubalei de lamisa azla. We know that there's something known as the chomesh chatois meisois, and one of them is ichatos shemeis ubalei. Well, guess what? This is a classic case of a chatos shemeis ubalei, because we're going to go and rachmon litzlan go and kill the owner that did avoid the zara. Since we're going to go and kill it, going to kill the owner, it's a chatos shemeis ubalei. Chatos shemeis ubalei is b'misa, so we cannot go and say by all kodshei kudashim yiru achiyestavu v'yipadu. Chatos is a case of kodshei kudashim that you wouldn't say yiru achiyestavu. You'd say goes l'misa. So therefore, like, that's why we went from kodshim kalim to kodshei berikabayis, and we left out the discussion of kodshei kudashim. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. Let's go back to the original machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. What was the machlokes? Why does it say by kodshim mizbeach yomusa? It's bishlam Rabbi Yochanan leamak Rish Lakish techsiv zevach rishonim to eva. That's why he doesn't have to give the pshat of Rish Lakish that we're only talking about kodshim kalim. It's going across the board by all kodshim. Why yomusu? Why don't you say yirad shiyistavu? Because they stink. This is a zevach rishoyim to eva. It's an abomination. Not only the original carbon, but even the mammonis, the derivative. If you're going to be poided, the money is also going to be to eva. Elu shlokim my time on the yom kerabi yochanan. Amalach ki amrin zevach rishoyim to eva. Hanim yehech lisno beinayu. The original animal. Of course, you're right. It's a zevach rishoyim to eva. It belongs to a rasha. It's in a ir nidachas to eva stinkt. Not only it itself, says Rabbi Yochanan, but also the mummy, says Rish Lakish. That's where I respectfully disagree with my shvugan. When it says, no, beinayu, it's taka te'efa, it doesn't pass the smell test. If you're going to wait, yirat yistavu, and you're going to get the money, and then you're going to use the money for the yiplin and the dove, you're going to go and use it to buy a new animal. Ishtani is a brand new animal, it's a different thing. You've laundered it, exactly. It's what you would call... not only that would be in English, but in Hebrew you would go and say, "Panim chadosh is bo l'kan." This is a brand new animal. This is not the old animal. So therefore,
money.
Yeah, but you're taking the money. But what do you do with yirat yistav v'yimachru v'yipli and the male in a dova? So you're going to take that money and you're going to buy a new animal. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the old animal and the new animal and the money, they all stink together. So therefore, that's why Yemusu says Rish Lakish, the original animal stinks. But the money and the new animal do not stink, so therefore you should be able to bring it. Why does it say Yemusu? Because it's talking about Kodshim, Kalim, Babiderusia, Glili, and therefore it's like a regular Shlola, like regular animals. That's the reason why it's Yemusu. Zoe, so why don't you go and do Lefi Chorev? Why do you go and put it into the keeper? Says Rashi, because since Fartet has a name of Kodesh, you have to be Mavdom in Kodesh L'chol. The others, the Chol, in fact, you're going to go and give them Misa through Cherev, and here you do Misa through put it into the keeper. Now we focus on Reb Shimon, oyim behem techovelim behem es bechorim meiser. So it's more about the mayis kinen. What type of behem es bechor and meiser we talk about? Ilim b'tmimim, if you talk about it's a tam, shlal shemayim hu, then it's a shlal shemayim. So why does Reb Shimon have to learn behemta, v'loi behem es behem bechorim meiser, learn shlola v'loi shlal shemayim? I don't need a new drasha of behemta. Just have the old drasha shlala v'loy shlal shemayim. El mali mumin. Oh, if it's talking about mali mumin, that these animals in fact do have a mum. If they have a mum, they're necha lebalim the way they are. Then shlala ninu. Then in fact we should go and say that they should be lefi chorev and they should be destroyed. Why does Reb Shimon make an exclusion? Behemta v'loy behemes b'chorev maser. If you're talking about bali mumin, that's part of the shlala. There is no exception. And therefore, it should taka be destroyed. It should be a levi chorev, like all the other animals. So Gemara is going to give two terutzim: one terutz of Ravina, one terutz of Shmuel. Omer Ravina, la'olam bali mumin. And therefore, since it's a bal mum, we said it's shlola, and therefore you should have to go and kill it like the rest of the animals. So Gemara, when do I say shlola? Umisha nechal b'toydes behemta. Not behemtacha is a mistake. Behemta, because that's the posik. That's called. What's the lashon of the pasuk? Hachri moisa the es kol hashibav the es behem ta lefi charev. It doesn't say behem tocha; it says behem ta. So that's what you see on the side. They change the gears to behem ta. Zokti Gemara. Mi shenechol b'toyres behemta. Yotze elu shenechol b'toyres behemta. El b'toyres b'chor u'maisra. Therefore, it's a shlal shemayim ninu. What does that mean? So, way Rashi learns pshat is, any other animal in the town, people call it behemas ir hanidachas. However, when you have a b'chor u'maisra, people are going to say, that's a behemas b'chor ir nidachas. Or behemas maser ir nidachas. It's what we call, it has a shem levoy, it has a nickname. Look at the Rashi on the right-hand margin, all the way in the bottom. Last Rashi. Lo'oyulam b'bali mumen, v'filohochi ein neherogin. Sreifa doesn't pass over here. We're talking about cheret. Afilohochi ein neherogin. Ima, the doshin and the krohochi. Behem talamisha nechal abal b'tredes behem tom. Yotzu elu, that is the masa behema. And the Bechor, Sheishlem Shem Levoy, it has a connecting name, a hyphenated name. Shein Echon Beturis Behem Tom, Shein Oimrim Behemus Er Nidachas, we say Ela Behemus Bechor Humasa Shel Nidachas. Oh, that's a different story. It's not a regular Behem to Er Nidachas, it's Behemus Bechor Humasa Er Nidachas. Oh, and therefore that's why we have a special exception. That's why it says Behem Tom, Vele Behemus Bechor Humasa. That's how Rashi looks. On the Mepharshim go one step further, and they say, Rashi, it's not only because of the Shem Levi. We're talking about real halachos. What are the real halachos? And Mesechtas Erech and Bechoyrois. The Gemara says over there that if you have that, you have a case of a Bechor Behema, or you have a case of Maaser Behema, what do you do with those two? The halacha is, although they have a din of Kodshim, you do not have to be poyed to them if they get a mum. But ein nishchotim beitlis, the ein nimkorim belitra. Because of their kedusha, even though the coin is allowed to eat it, but mumay, you don't have to be poided. Same thing, masa behem, if it gets a mum, nechal abalim, no pigeon. Are you allowed to go and take it to the itlis? Itlis is the shlachtois, and just put it, give it a number 50 on the line and shecht it. No. This has to be done separately. Can you go and sell the meat in the marketplace for litra? No, it has to be done for bias. It has to be done. What's the reason why? Because of its exalted kedusha status.
It still retains the name of kachim.
That's what we call it, the chulin plus. See, it's taka chulin. He can eat it himself. Doesn't go to the smigdish. You don't have to. Doesn't have din of kedusha anymore. No din of meila. But nevertheless, kedusha. But there are certain dinim that apply. Oh, that's what Reb Shimon says. Since there are at least some indicia, some conditions of Kedusha, you don't kill it, but rather it exempt from the rule. That's what Reb Shimon is saying over here. That's according to Ravina. And Ravina is talking about that L'Oyum Bali Mumin. However, although it doesn't say it explicitly in Gemara, but Rashi says that Shmuel's Ikar Chiddush is even if you're talking about when it's still betmimus, when it's still a tam, even there's the exception of behemta. And Shmuel explains, hakol karev hakol nifter, everything you bring and everything you poyter. Frank of my comment, what did Shmuel mean? That sounds very, very succinct. Frank of my hockey comment, kol shekarev kishu tam, v'nifta kishu balmum, kishlal, I'm sorry, mi shlal imit. Then we are mimited from the word v'yas kol shlala. What's the reason why? Because this obviously has kedusha. If it's karev kishu tam, it's shlal shemayim. If you have to be poyde kishu balmum, it's shlal shemayim. So I learn it mishlal imit shlala v'lo shlal shemayim potter. However, the kol shekarev kishu tam ein niv kishu balmum. What happens that if it's a tam you bring it for a carbon, but if it's a balmum you're not poyde it kigoyin. Like the Bechor Umayser, that even though it's developed a mum, you're not poided. The Koyin eats the Bechor Behema, and the Yisrael, the Balaam, eat the Maser Behema. No din of Pidyoin. Oh, then says Shmuel, you cannot learn it from Shlala, v'lo Shlal Shemayim, because it's not Shlal Shemayim anymore. Then I'm going to learn it mi Behem to Nafka.
According to Shmuel, it's not Chulin Plus. It is Chulin Plus. That you have restrictions, but it still doesn't fall into the exclusion of
Shmuel does not argue on the case of the on the surface. He does not argue in the case of the Bali Mum. He's saying by the Bali Mum, I mask him with Ravina. I need the Behemta to go and exclude the case of the Behemta of Lebehemis Bechor Umayser. Why is that excluded? Because of the fact that since it still has certain restrictions of Kedusha, it's not Chulin, and that's why it's exempt from Lefi Charev. That's according to Ravina. According to Shmuel, this not only applies to Bali Mumin, it applies even when it's a Tam, you have an exception to the rule based on Behemta. V'loi Behemis Bechor Maiser. Why is that? Says Rashi. According to Shmuel, since were this animal to have a din of a mum, you wouldn't have to be poide it, but it's nechal b'mumai. This proves that this is a carbon which is different than all other carbonis. That even when it happens to be a tam, it's not your normal carbon, but it would be mumain balim. And if it would be mumalim, I don't have the exclusion of shlola, v'loi shlal shemayim. It belongs to the Balaam. How do I know it belongs to the Balaam? Because were it to get a mum, you'd be able to eat it, but mumma, you'd have to be poided. It belongs to you, even bitmi musa, it belongs to you, it's mum and Balaam. So how do I learn now from the din of Behemta? That's why I have a special din of Behemta to go and say, I'm not learning it from shlola, v'loi shlal shemayim. I'm learning it from Behemta. Behemta v'loi behemis b'choru meiser. That even though it's considered to be kadosh, because of the fact that it has, even when it was betmimus, since were it to become a balmum, it belongs to you, therefore you can go and keep it. So if I can keep it, then it's mum and balam. I should have to go and burn it, or I should have to, not burn it, I should have to go and decapitate it, or it should be yamusu, like the Tanakhama said, that you should have to do bekeeper. Says Reb Shimon, no, that's a special din by Behemoth Bechoru Maaser, that the Torah made a special meal to tell you these dinim of Eridachas do not apply to Bechor and Maiser, even between Musay. So therefore, the machloikis between Ravina and Shmuel is it only by Bali Mumin, or according to Shmuel, even when it's a Tarek? True Maiser Kavim, Omer of Chisra, Loishanu ala Truma Biyad Yisrael, Av Truma Biyad Koyin, Kim Dim Moinehu Tisarv. If it belongs to Yisrael, obviously it doesn't belong to him. Okay? And therefore, it is Koidish, it's Truma, and you're covered. However, don't go and burn it. Like
it's like a Kajin Shailam Achrayas. It's Truma, it has Kedusha, there's no Achrayas, because if it's destroyed, he doesn't have to replace it, right?
Right.
So it's similar to Kajin Shailam Achrayas. It has that status, right?
Well, it's similar. Very good. And a nice explanation. So Loishnah Truma Viad Yisrael. If the Yisrael owns it, Avatrum Viad Koyin, Kimainu, it's his moment. He doesn't have to give it to anybody, he eats it himself. Tisarov, it becomes like shlola, like shlala ear, and you have to burn.
Speaking
of Irindachas? But outside Irindachas.
Everything.
Moshe Rav Yosef. Maasu Sheni Vikisa Koyushi Gonzu. Fraytimor of a Maasu Sheni Viad Yisrael, Kitrum Viad Koyin Dami. Isn't it exactly the same? The Maasu Sheni Viad Yisrael, it's mom and balim, and therefore it should be shlola. And therefore, it should have a din of tisarif. So, if you're telling me the truma biyad koyin tisarif, then you should say maaser sheni biyad yisrael is also tisarif. And for the gemara, so eli itmar hachi itmar. Rav Chizda lo yishanu el punkt fakert lo yishanu. When we say you call the truma biyad koyin of truma biyad yisrael tinosn the koyin should be iracheres. Since it happens to be truma which still belongs to the original farmer or the original purchaser of the truma. And therefore, it has never been given to the Kohen yet. So it's somewhat like in limbo, no man's land. You know what you got to do? Find a Kohen that lives somewhere else and give it to him and finish. And there will no longer be the shlal of this city. It was never the shlal of the city because it didn't belong to anybody. Yes, the Yisrael had Tovus Anoa, but Tovus Anoa apparently, according to this man, the Amar, ain't a mumen, or at least it's not enough mumen that you have a din of shlala. Therefore, what are you going to go and do? Find somebody else. But if it's true biyad koyin, then you don't have to give it to anybody else. You already gave it to the koyin. So what's the koyin going to do with it? Says our Mishnah, says this the Braisa. What you have to do is your kavu. You have to go and let it rot. Why don't I go and say you should go and burn it? Says Rashi, like we said before, by the kochim. Since it has a din of kedusha, you can't just lump it together with all the other things in town. You have to give it special treatment. What that special treatment is, your kavu, you just wait until it rots on its own. Tananusa, Isishul Maasu Sheni, Turimanachala, Divramay. Now we're not talking about Irni Dachas, we're talking about a regular Isa, where the Isa is L'choira in Yerushalayim. Well, we'll see about that in a moment. And it's Masa Sheni, so, you know, I took the original wheat and I ground it up and I made it into flour to make Issa. Or it could be that he bought it. Anyway, so what happens to the Yisrael Masa Sheni? You put them in a challah. Divremei. You don't have to give challah from that Issa. Why is that? So Rashi says, because it said in the Pasuk, Reishis Arisoi Seichem. It's got to be your Reishis of your own Issa. And therefore, it's not really yours, it's really Masa Sheni. Divremei. Chum Chaim Chum say, no, you are Mechuyiv in challah. What's the Machloikis? Omer of Chitz. Machloikis in Masa Sheni in Yerushalayim. Divremei Yisrael Masa Sheni Mom in Gevoyevu. Rabbanan Tzavri Mom in Hedjetu. The Meir says Masa Sheni, even though the Kodesh Baruch Hu lets you and I eat in Yerushalayim, but it's like the Kodesh Baruch Hu inviting us as guests. It's Hashem's Masa Sheni. It's not mine. It's Mom Gevoyah. Mom Gevoyah, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have to give challah. Only I have to give challah. Rabban Sabri, no, Mom, how'd you do? Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you the Masa Sheni. It's yours. Since it's yours, you got to give challah. But that's in Yerushalayim. Al Bikvul, if you're outside Yerushalayim, where there is no heter achila, the most you can do is bring it into Yerushalayim or be pointed. But there's no heter achila. Everybody agrees at this point, this moment, Gevoyahu, Tivri HaKoil is Potur. Frey Timura, the Gvul and Tivri HaKoil is Potur, Masar of Yosef, from our Mishnah. Masar Sheni, Mikisra Koidish, Yigonis. Masar Sheni, Yigonis. B'mayiskim. Where is this Masar Sheni in our Mishnah and in this Brisa? Elim, if it's resident in Yerushalayim, may have Irni Dachas. We've already said Yerushalayim cannot become an Irni Dachas. What Tanya? A Mishnah in the end of the Sechs above a Kama, a Braisa. I saw it from Nemrub Yerushalayim, Zuachas Mehen, and Yenas Irni Dachas. You cannot become Irni Dachas still, and Yehed, it can't become an Irni Dachas. That being the case, Zakhti Yemara, it cannot be talking that the Master Shein is in Yerushalayim. Ela Biracheretz, it's talking about another town somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what happened to this Master Shein? If it's Askul Gavo, if it was already in Yerushalayim at this time, and now we're saying, no, let's assume it's within one day's radius, let Schnell take it back to Irni Dachas to burn. HaKotu Mechitzos. Kotu Mechitzos says Rashi, once it's Yerushalayim, not only is it Mutter now and no longer the Shlal of that city, you're allowed to go and eat it. Eat in Yerushalayim and be finished with it. Well, don't go and schlep it back to the Gvum. Why should there be a din of Yigonzu? Esesok isn't tight. Elamai must be talking about that the Master Sheni is resident in the Irni Dachas. It never came into Yerushalayim. And what's the din? Uktani Yigonzu. Why didn't I go and say the Master Sheni outside Yerushalayim is Mom and Gevoya? And that's why Kuli Al-Moida says, Rav Chizza, that you're potter from giving Chal. It's Mom and Gevoya. If it's Mom and Gevoya, it's Shlol of Eloi Shlal Shemayim. It should be potter from Sreifa. Why does it say Yigonzu? Loi, li oilam dir acheres. Vasku de gavon, they took it into Yerushalayim. Vach mayiskinan shin nitma. It's talking about that you cannot eat in Yerushalayim. It became tamei. And therefore, I'm sorry?
Can you eat it at all?
Zok t'yimara, you cannot eat it at all. Master Sheni should not tell me you can't eat. But now it's t'yimara v'lifrike. Let's be poid it and take the money.
What? How do you poid that? How do you pull that? What do you pull that for?
First of all, let's establish that you're allowed to do that. So, Timur Yom Rabluza, Minayin Lamasa Sheni Shinim, Mashe Poyden Oisa Fil Bishalayim. How do you know you're allowed to be Poyden even Yishalayim? Talmud Loima, Likiloi Suchal Seesai, the Ain Sees El Achila. Shinemar, even though Poshim Shat Sees means you cannot carry it because it's too heavy, it's too much. No, Lisuchal Sees, even Ees Bachila, Shinemar, the Yisam Masis Meis Panav. And therefore, Masis means food presence, food, right? This is talking about Yosef and the brothers. See, therefore, Lisuchal Seesai, you cannot go and eat it. If you can't go and eat it, says the Pasuk, then you can go and be poided. If it's hard to kiss the Yodch, so go and be poided. So Zok to Gemara, what difference does it make? Come tummy, nish, come tummy. So Gemara Bilakuach, it was purchased. Right? You will write to Malifrike. Nechem to be continued tomorrow by saying, then we're going to address your question, Barry, how can you poid it? What are you going to be poided for? Nechem tomorrow.
I want to add one thing. The Tom of a before.